Let's take a look at God's promises that He has for us. In St. John, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit." When he said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified," that had been a promise from the Old Testament. But then he said something interesting about the promise. "I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone." We don't like being alone. But Jesus, one of the things that he did is he suffered loneliness. Not only on the cross when he said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" But those 3 days. But he said, "If it die, it brings forth much fruit." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. May you speak to our hearts. And Lord, may you minister faith and hope into the lives of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. We used to say as kids, "Do you promise?" It's like our word wasn't good enough, but if we promise, and then we came up, I don't know who came up with it, "I cross my heart, I hope to die, or stick 1,000 needles in my eye." Who came up with that? But we're emphasizing the promise. I don't know if you have at your home. I don't see them as much, but we used to have promise boxes. And in a little bread basket or something, a container, there'd be maybe 100 promises written on scriptures or written on these little small cardboard pieces. And people often used to, I hope that's not the only Bible reading you get, is going over and pick up a promise and almost like a fortune cookie. I'm sure God has other things, but God can still use that nonetheless. But the promises of God are yea and amen, and we like promises. But I want to talk about when God promises you something and it doesn't look like it's ever going to come about. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, God's promises are called unfailing promises, because in 1 Kings 8:56, here's what the Lord said back in that day: "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised." You know, God is a God of promises. Not only does he give written promises, but over the history of Israel, God would raise up a prophet, and the prophet would give a promise to the people. I believe God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he still, not only do we have written promises, but sometimes God can have a way, by his Holy Spirit, put a promise in your heart to where that hope and that desire is from the Lord and is so real, you really believe that God is, given me hope in something. I believe he's promised me something, and it can be by the Holy Spirit. But he says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised." There's something about a promise that can give you rest if you believe it. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And he did promise the children of Israel many, many things. And God is reminding them that everything I promised you, I did. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea and in amen, unto the glory of God by us." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Peter knew what it was to get a promise from the Lord. He knew the Old Testament, but God sometimes can give you another promise. He came to Peter one day and said, "Here's what they call you now, but here's what they're going to call you down the road." And He promised there would be a change in your nature. You're going to be a stone, you're Cephas, or you'll be called, and I'm getting them backwards, but he made a promise, a personal promise to Peter that would happen to him. And yet there came a time when Peter probably felt that promise, I don't think is going to happen because I just denied the Lord. And he went out and wept bitterly. You're never too old for God to come to you and give you a promise. Genesis 17, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant," or a promise, "between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." The promise was not a new promise. It had been made back in Genesis 3. But he said to Abraham, "I'm going to include you in it. You're going to be a partaker of it. And I will make my covenant or my promise between me and thee. And I'm going to multiply thee. I'm going to bless you, Abraham." And he wasn't saying be perfect. He was just saying just live right. And Abraham, you walk with me or be my friend. And this isn't the first time God came and promised Abraham that he would do that. Because he had promised Abraham earlier back in, we read the one in Genesis 17 when he was 99. But if you go back when he was 75, he made the promise to Abraham then. It's found in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is 75. And here's what it says then. "Now the Lord hath said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And promise him what is now known as the promised land. He also promised him, I will make of thee a great nation. He also promised him he would bless him." So 25 years later, nothing has happened. And he promises him again. And he said, "I'll make thy name great. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now Abraham in chapter 17 is 90 years old. Nothing has happened in regards to him having a child or saying what he was certain or sure God had promised him concerning a child with Sarah. But Abraham misunderstood the promise, because now God tells him that Sarah thy wife shall be thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And we know what Abraham did when he heard that. He laughed. He laughed so hard he fell on his face. And then here's what Abraham said. "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old?" You know, I might have believed that when I was 75, but I'm 90 now. And that is amazing to me that Abraham laughed so hard he fell down and said, shall Sarah have a child at 90? You think you're laughing now, Abraham. You know, later when Sarah did have the child, later Sarah died, he married again, married Keturah, which, by the way, was Hagar wasn't one of his only concubines. I didn't know it, but Keturah had been a concubine, and he had four children with her. But I'm getting off track, and we're going to get so bogged down trying to figure that one out, I'll have to talk to God when I get to heaven about that one. But when you're given a promise, it at first gives you hope. We're excited. That is great. And we're taught to believe on it and act on it and to hold on to it. And Abraham did when he was first given the promise. He did leave the country. He did to do what God said to do. And then in Genesis 14, God had to come along to encourage him and remind Abraham of the promise he had given. At least four times in Abram's life, God comes to tell him about the promise that he's going to do it. God can give you and put hope in your heart to where that is almost a promise from the Lord, and faith can be born. Genesis 15, it said, the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. It doesn't say that Abram said this, but I can almost see Abram knowing human nature. Yeah, I've heard that one before. Nothing has happened. In this vision, God brings Abram forth and said, Abram, now I want you to look up toward heaven and take a look at the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. I mean, he's making the promise bigger. And I can almost see Abram saying, you know, if you just do what you said you'd do when it was smaller, then I might believe it when now that you're making it bigger. Didn't say he said that, but that might be the way my brain worked if I didn't have faith in it. He said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. Good for you, Abraham. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In the beginning of Abram's walk, a promise is made. But I just want us to see it took time for it to be fulfilled. When you read Hebrews chapter 11 about the people of faith, I had the impression once to take and to write down all those who the miracle that happened to them, and they're called great men of faith. How long did it take from the time the promise was given until it was fulfilled? And I found two categories. Some of them had happened right away, but some of them it took a long time for the promise to come and to be fulfilled. In the beginning of David's walk, when he was anointed to be king, he had been given a promise by the prophet, you're going to be king. But it didn't happen right away. Quite a few things happen and circumstances, almost to the degree where one could surmise that David didn't think it had ever happened. Again, when Peter was brought to Jesus by Andrew, a promise was made to him. He was then called Simon, the son of Jonah. But thou shalt be called Cephas, or Peter, meaning a rock. But that didn't happen overnight. Here a promise is made that I'm going to do this, and your character is, you're going to be really strong. In fact, what I'm going to suggest to you is that the promise probably died, or he sure lost a lot of confidence in it, because when he is... We love Peter because we identify with him. He's always making mistakes. I identify with him more than I do John, who he's so perfect. I'd rather get around Peter. I feel better about myself than John, who lays his head on his bosom. And yes, I love the Lord, but in Now we come to something Jesus said to help us understand the ways of God. In St. John 12:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily," now they've been waiting for the Messiah to come. "I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die." What has that got to do with "the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified"? You're talking about something that had been promised for years, and now you mention about a corn of wheat, and you said, what? And I'm sure they're trying to think, what is he trying to say? But Jesus is basically saying the promise, he's the corn of wheat, but he's letting them know, "I have to die." And we know this, that when they saw Jesus died, their promise died. And they probably were really perplexed. We had great hope. We had great expectation. Even the two on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus is risen from the dead, why are you sad and why are you grieving? Well, what we thought, our promise, he dead. And it's just what Jesus said would happen. Except a corn of wheat be put in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies... And sometimes I have found that things that God has promised you, they die. Doesn't mean you lack faith. Doesn't mean you don't believe. In fact, you're probably perplexed. Sometimes you think, "Well, I thought God promised me this. And I don't, it doesn't look like it'll ever happen. Maybe I didn't hear. Maybe I did hear. I'm just not sure." But may I remind you, it could be that that is part of the process. Jesus is teaching, he's referring to himself when he says that a corn of wheat must fall into the ground and die. See, Jesus was the promise that had been promised for thousands of years, starting in Genesis 3. And over, in one way or another, he's been adding to that promise a Savior that would come and do all kinds of things. From Genesis 3:15, "You shall bruise the heel, and the heel will bruise the head." There are at least 45 promises of him coming, just in a few books, all the way from Genesis to Malachi. Malachi 3:1, the last Old Testament book, keeps telling of the promise. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifies of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi." He's going to clean up the ministry. So we have a list of all these promises that are connected to what Jesus would do. He'd die for our sins. Isaiah said he'd be a counselor, and government rest on his shoulders. They knew that he would be a king. We know that he would come with healing in his wings. He did that. And Jesus who came and was born, he was the promise. In Luke 1:67 we read, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." For he didn't say this, but he said he's kept his promise. "For he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy," here it is, "promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant." God's kept his promise. But now we come to what Jesus says along this thinking. Jesus is teaching over and over that, yeah, I'm the promise, but the promise is going to die. He said it's necessary for the promise to die. I'm not saying this is in all cases, but It may be in yours. Not only do we learn that the promise dies, but we learn that promises given to people also can die. I want to stop and just ask, is there anything that you feel this morning that you would put in the category, I had really believed the Lord would do this. I had great hope He would do this. Almost to the degree I'm willing to say, I believe the Lord promised me. Well, that takes wisdom. But now, Pastor, I'm not so sure it's going to happen like I thought it was. Maybe I just got carried away. But no, I really believe that the Lord promised me, and He had a way of speaking to me, and I had my hopes up, and but I'm not so sure now. I've learned that when God gives a promise, in many cases, the promise comes up against big obstacles that make it seem like the promise will never come to pass. Jesus said, "Follow me. I will make you to be fishermen of men." That was a promise. And they did follow Him. But they all denied Him. And I'm sure that every one of them felt like, I'm not so sure now. And they did deny the Lord. But it did not negate the promise. It didn't mean just because they failed, He said, well, how much you got to follow Him? They did follow Him. Well, but God doesn't make a promise. And I realize some are conditional, but some of them are unconditional. He just promised. Abraham is given a promise, and the promise seemingly never comes to pass. And the promise, I'm going to say, and this may be hard, said he was a man of faith. Yes, he was, but at times it appears by the actions of Abram that he maybe didn't think it would happen. He's willing to give Sarah away to King Abimelech. Don't tell me he was a man of faith 100% of the time. And sometimes there can be a teaching that goes out and says, whatsoever you desire when you play, believe. Well, I do, but occasionally I doubt. Does that mean that the times I doubt, it's going to negate what God promised me? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Anymore, you could go back and say, Abraham, you know, God promised you, but the way you acted and what you did and letting Sarah go take off with Abimelech, you can forget it. Uh-uh. God made a promise. A promise is a promise. I had something brought to my attention this week, last week, because I have a friend. And this friend felt 30 years ago, he was single, that he met this lady. And he felt that this lady that he had prayed for, he felt that the Lord promised him that he would marry her. 30 years has passed. I know that that relationship has been hot and cold. And he finally shared with me that I've just about given up. He told me details, and in the back of my mind I kept thinking, but I thought the Lord promised you this lady. And I'd remind him of it and say, well, I believe He did, but I'm not so sure now. And but then something happened. There was something in her character that he was having a problem with, and I won't go into details. But finally, she called him up, and she did something that was a miracle. She admitted she was wrong. He said she never admits she's wrong. Never says she's sorry. He said, it's always me, and I just can't live with a woman that will never admit she's wrong. And I'd listen to him and sympathize with him, empathize with him. And it got to where he was no longer responding because he just said, I just, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And but he called me and said, a miracle happened. I said, what happened? She said she wanted to talk to me. I asked him permission if I could tell. He said, yes. And he said, I wasn't ready to listen to her because I knew from the past experience, but God did a miracle in this lady. She humbled herself to him and had acknowledged how she had, and that's not to say that my friend didn't have his shortcomings too. How many know it takes two? But it wasn't that he never would not acknowledge his shortcomings, it's that she would never acknowledge hers. And he said, I can admit I'm wrong, but she never admits she's wrong. And he said, I don't think I can live with that. But after 30 years, for the first time, she went to him and broke down and said, I've been wrong, and please forgive me. And he said to me, you know, there's hope. Now, I'm just sharing this with you because it reminds me of what I'm preaching today. A promise was given, and it looked like it would never happen. But I'm seeing that maybe the Lord is going to. I said, you know, I've often believed that God did speak to you. I don't think you made a mistake. I think you really did hear from the Lord. But I say that to all of us, that at times we can feel like it's not going to happen. But sometimes it is just the ways of God that it will die. Why does God allow us to think it'll never happen? And then he turns around and he does it. I'm going to suggest to you that way God gets all the glory. And that way you can't say, well, I believed. And I did this and I did that, which I'm going to pick on the faith movement again. The glory goes to them. The glory don't go to God. And how many know that whatever thy hand find to do, do with all. Everything's glory's got to go to God. And none of us can share in the glory. Now, if God brags on our faith, that's him bragging on our faith. But we don't have a biblical right to brag on our faith. Whenever you find Jesus, he's bragging on their faith. Oh, great is thy faith. But I'm not so sure we have a right to brag on our faith. The Bible said, let another man praise thee and not thy own lips. So here I find, boy, that's just like God. But I want to say this, why does God let it seem like it'll never happen? And I want to speak to you about, you had hope, you had faith, you believed it, but now, boy, I'm not so sure. I'm going to suggest that during the time when it looks impossible, God works on areas of our life. And they're usually found on the Sermon on the Mount, on the Beatitudes. How many know he's always working on us? But the second reason, I believe, from a biblical look, is that that way when it happens, all of the glory goes to God. And you can know that it was God. I can't say I did this, I did that. And if he brags on me, then that be him bragging on me. But the Lord lets sometimes, and Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. But if it dies, I'm not saying if your promise hasn't died in your heart, let it die. That's not what I'm saying. You keep believing. But in some cases I have found from the Word of God and just pastoral experience, sometimes they do die. But I guess what I'm trying to say to you is don't give up. Watch God still fulfill his promise and that we may rejoice. He that has begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of his appearing. During the death, during the time when it looks hopeless, that's when he's working in areas in our life. And also, it reminds me when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, the only thing that burned was the ropes that had them bound. And when you go through the fire, and when you're going through it, he's only burning things that have bound you up. so that when it comes through, you can rejoice and dance and be happy. So I want to encourage you, if you've had something that God promised you, for it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, for you have need of patience. I hate that word. But you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I want to encourage you. If God promised you it, He'll do it. He's going to do it. Would you stand? I want to encourage you to hold on. But if your grip slipped, He is faithful, even when we're not faithful. That's what the beloved John said. He remains faithful even when we are not. So that way He gets all the glory. Father, to You be the praise and the glory and the honor. And I just want to, I pray by the help of the Holy Spirit, reach into the heart of people here, and may You encourage them. And may You lift them up, and Lord, put hope and faith in our heart. And may we be reminded that He that has begun a good work in us shall perform it. And that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And these good works that come forth because of Christ in us. Lord, let faith rise up again in Your people. Lord, I pray as Jesus, Lord, said, a bruised reed He shall not break, and a smoking flax He will not quench. And Lord, if there be life in anyone here today, and it may be small, blow upon that life and let it grow. If there be somebody here that's been wounded and hurt, You don't see that bruised reed and say, well, it's broken, it's not worth fixing. But Your compassion, You reach down and You minister to them and strengthen them. If there be by chance somebody here that's bruised and broken, I pray Your healing virtue ministers strength to them by Your Holy Spirit. You're the God of all comfort, and put hope in their heart. Let not unbelief have its way, but let faith reign, and may they fight the good fight of faith. Bless them, I pray. The altars are open. I invite you to come and pray and talk to God. Would you do that? Blessed be the Lord. You can remind Him of His promise that He's given to you. He understands and He will help. Thank You, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.